About 5 or 6,000 years ago, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, greetings to you today. This is Steve Clark, and this is day 3 in our series this week, and we're looking at God's judgment. We saw yesterday out of 2 Peter chapter 3 how that God is going to bring judgment upon this earth in the form of fire, which is going to burn up all the elements. In chapter 3 verse 10 it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So we're looking at God's judgment, but specifically what I want to focus in on this week is ourselves. What manner of persons ought we to be? That's the next verse there in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. It says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God? And so we're looking at this topic of judgment, but specifically, what manner of persons, what do we need to be like? What should we be living like or doing in this life at this point in time, knowing that God is going to bring judgment to the earth? And where I read here just now, Genesis 6, 5 through 8, about the wickedness of man and how God, it grieved him in his heart that he even made man because of the wickedness, where the imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And it grieved God, and he said he was going to destroy it, which he did in the flood. But it says there in verse 8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Well, I believe Hebrews chapter 11 tells us why. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, in the which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is of God by faith. Not sure, I was just quoting that. I'm not sure it's word for word. I think it's pretty close. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God because he had faith in God. He believed God, and he believed God's word. God said he was going to destroy the earth, and Noah believed it. And he was moved with faith, and he prepared an ark. And it was his faith that God saw in Noah that where he found grace in the eyes of God because of his faith. And what I presented the first couple days on Sunday and Monday, I talked about a lot of gloom and doom, you know, in a sense, of what's going to happen and what did happen on 9/11 15 years ago. But you and I also can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. We don't have to worry or fret, but we better be sold out for him, and we should be moved with fear and be faithful to God. Not living a carefree, careless Christian life, one that is just an outward show, but it needs to be something that's very deep within, that this is my faith in God and that I'm going to live my life for the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to, the things that I do today is because I'm doing it by faith. It's not just any old thing. And I'm not here in this world, or another way of saying it, I guess, is that this world is not a playground, but it's actually a battlefield. As Christians, in 2 Timothy, it says, but all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And then it goes on and says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And my friend, I believe we are in that time right now. There's so many people that are so deceived, and it's almost mind-boggling. How can people believe the things that they believe? All this transgender stuff, all this, you know, that God made some mistake when they made them a boy and that they were really a girl. And I mean, this is just deception. But people are believing these kind of things, and that's just one of many things where people are so deceived. But that's what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so we don't have to be fearful. And this is, like I said yesterday, this is an exciting time to actually be living. This is an exciting time to be a Christian. We don't have to be afraid. We can trust the Lord, but we do need to be a faithful Christian and not just some lukewarm or cold carnal Christian, if I can say it like that. But I'm going to ask some questions here. Is your faith real? Is your religion genuine? Does Jesus Christ know you? Are you walking in the light as he is in the light? Are you walking in the spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh? Are you in Christ? And I'm not the judge, and I am glad I'm not the judge. I'm glad that's not my job. But I am a preacher of the word, and I want to sound a warning. I want all those listening to this message to take inventory of our lives, to deal honestly with our souls, to consider where are we really at, because the day of the Lord will come. And even if judgment doesn't come to this world before I die, I'm going to meet the Lord someday. All of us, we're going to meet the Lord, whether it's through at the end of the age or whether it's that we die in just a natural death or an accident or something that happens. We are going to die someday, and we are going to stand before God. And that's the burden of this message, is that we are going to stand before God. And what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, seeing that we know these things? We know that the judgment day is coming. We know that we're going to stand before God someday. And we are told to examine ourselves, to see whether we are in the faith. Prove your own selves. I'm not sure exactly how that goes. I think it's in it's either in 1 Corinthians 16 or 2 Corinthians 16, but it talks about examining ourselves. So, isn't there a warning? Many warning after warning concerning those who thought that they were right with God, but they were not. And does not the Bible tell us to not be deceived? Are there not examples in Scripture that tell people who were very religious, but they received a very strong rebuke from God, from Jesus Christ? Those were the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites. And I don't know how many times, 8 times or something in those verses where he says, "Scribes, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." And their main thing, it wasn't that they weren't religious. They were very religious. They had a form. They had a shell. But there was things wrong inside, in the heart. But they put on this show, this nice shell. And Jesus, you know, our loving Savior, he said, "You serpents, you generation of vipers, How can you escape the damnation of hell? So what can we learn from those harsh words of our Lord Jesus, from our gracious, loving Savior? What can we learn from those words? Maybe he said those words with tears in his eyes. It's hard to tell from the written word here. But what can we learn from that? I think one thing we can learn is that those people may have been decent people and probably more moral than the publicans and the harlots. But doesn't it teach us that God hates hypocrisy and a mere outward show? That's what they were putting on, this outward show. And that's what God detests even more than sin. I mean, God hates sin, but it's this outward show when there's something wrong in the heart. And that's the burden of the message this week, is that we would really examine ourselves and turn over all the different stones and look here, look in that room in our heart, and make sure that we're right. Because my prayer is that everyone listening to this message would be in heaven, that you wouldn't be rejected and, you know, thinking that you're going to be right, but you weren't right because something was not right inside. Romans 2, verse 28 and 29, it's the last two verses of Romans chapter 2. It says, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." I just want to replace one word with a different word and read that again. "For he is not a Christian, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Christian, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men," not doing these things to be seen of men, "but it would be of God." Is your faith real and genuine? It may be weak. It may be feeble. It may be have infirmities, but is it real? Is it true? Or is there hypocrisy? Is there pretense? Is there sham? Is there fabrication? Is there deception? Didn't the church at Ephesus have many things that looked good and were right in doctrine and practice? But they had left their first love. They were told to repent and do the first works, or else God would remove their candlestick. So this was the problem here. They had a lot of doctrinal things right. They had a lot of good practices. But the Bible says they had left their first love. And it was just an outward show, or somewhat of an outward show. And also, didn't the church there in Revelation also, Revelation chapter 3, the church of the Laodiceans, they thought that they were okay. They were rich, they were increased with goods, and had need of nothing. I think sometimes in our American culture and even in our Anabaptist culture, we look at those who are rich as godly because they're prospering. They have this farm, or they have this produce that they're doing, or they have this carpentry business or cabinet making business or whatever. And we look at them that they're godly because they're prosperous. But that's not the test of true godliness. And here in the Laodicean church, they thought that way. They were rich and they were increased with goods and they had need of nothing. But Jesus said to them that they were wretched, they were miserable, they were poor, they were blind, and they were naked. And in reality, they were the opposite of how they saw themselves. They were totally opposite of what they really saw themselves as, what Jesus explained to them how they really were. And so yeah, this week I just want us to examine ourselves. Think about these words. Think about these scriptures that I bring out, and even try to read them yourself. And yeah, just ponder your own life. It's so much better that we look at these things before Judgment Day than at Judgment Day, that we would be able to deal with our hearts, that we'd be able to repent and repent in true humility and repent in truthfulness in a real true way. So God bless you. That's what I have for today. But we're going to continue on tomorrow as we continue, as we consider this topic. So God bless you. Thanks for calling in.